This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. These dudes get on these James Bond kicks. Good God. All right. Rory McIlroy won his first ever Masters on Sunday. That gave him the career grand slam.
Yeah.
Of the biggest moments we've experienced in sports since 2000. Tiger winning the Masters in 2019. Maybe you put Phil winning it at Kiowa there, too. I mean, Phil was, I think, 50. When the Red Sox beat the Yankees in the ALCS, I'll never forget that moment. That was 2004. LeBron and the Cavaliers down 3-1 to the Warriors. Comeback. That block he had.
Yeah.
The Cubs winning the World Series in 2016. I would add Ovi breaking Gretzky's record because that was a record that was never going to fall. If you got any you would add?
Nah, the Ovi thing, definitely.
We can keep thinking about it. So yeah. The phones are open. What do you think? Where does this all rank? Gary is in La Plata. What's up, Gary?
Well, I wanted to bring up the Nationals winning 4 on the road to win the World Series.
Yeah, that's
smart. True.
That's a good one.
That had never happened, right?
Right. That the first and only time that ever happened. I'll give you a couple for NASCAR as well. So you got Jimmy Johnson being a 7-time world champion.
Yep.
NASCAR champion.
Yep.
Dale Earnhardt at Talladega, his last win, passing 17 cars with 4 laps to go.
All right.
Got to give him the ranking on that. So those are mine to give to you guys on that.
Appreciate you,
man. Thank you.
Thanks.
I didn't think about the Nats winning 4 on the road. It was wild. I don't know that it's a singular moment. Damn, that 2019 LSU team is, like, in my brain forever.
They were damn good.
I mean, just so loaded. Just so loaded.
Oh, yeah.
I got this one on Twitter from Coach Brandon. He says the George Mason Final Four run, they beat 3 previous champs to do it. Who'd they beat? They beat, like, UConn, Carolina, Michigan State.
Yeah.
I do wonder, the Mason thing people bring up a lot, because they were like the first mid-major to do it. But now, hoops is just so crazy. Hit these phones.
But look at the people who they beat. That's, I think that makes it more. They didn't beat just some flunkies.
Sure.
Yeah.
800-636-1067. Phone lines are open. My thing with the Mason thing is it's now been done a lot. And it's not as surprising. I don't know.
Mason and VCU, I guess because they're close. Their runs were special.
Totally. I wonder if it's because of they are close here that we think about it more.
Yeah.
I kind of think UMBC beating UVA. Like, when people ask me the wildest thing in college hoops, I still think of UMBC ahead of Mason and VCU.
When you try to play tricycle basketball, you can lose games. If somebody can score and you don't want to score, you lose.
Yeah, but they were the number one seed in the tournament. And they didn't just lose. Like, they got their ass kicked.
Yeah, because what happened, they couldn't play tricycle basketball.
How about the fact that dude is now the coach at UVA? Yo, they lost by 20. Holy moly, I just looked this up. They lost by 20, and it was tied at halftime.
They were averaging like 40-something points, 50 points a game that year.
That's crazy. let's go to our guy Rusty in Delaware. Rusty, what makes the list, dude?
Hey, fellas, what's going on? You guys mind if I go just a little bit beyond 2000?
Sure. What the hell?
So the lead up to this week and like the coverage this weekend and everything just kind of felt so much like the monkey off the back Steve Young moment in the playoffs. I think that was 96.
Yeah, when they beat the hell out of the Chargers.
Yeah, just everything. Maybe that's because my brain, I was 14 years old at that time, so it was just eat up with it. But it just kind of felt like, finally Rory had got this big monkey off his back, and that was the same theme. Something that I thought was funny, though, we were watching the golf yesterday. It was like 64 degrees, and my son was begging me to go outside to throw the football. So we went outside, and we turned the TV on outside, and then we watched the sudden death. And when it was over, Jim Nance was talking, and my son looks at me, and he goes, Dad, he goes, this guy called the two greatest plays of all time, the Hail Mary and now this.
I like that.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Rusty.
Yeah, fellas.
Take care. The Hail Mary.
Nance has called a lot of damn great moments.
Dude. Nance is great, dude. And he has now given up the Final Four. I mean, he was doing that forever, too. And I think, was this his first, maybe his second year not doing it? I think it's Iron Eagle. I don't know, man. Ovi, it was something yesterday, man.
Yeah, it was.
Ovi, Rory. I mean, that's all in the last month, dude.
Yeah.
Alex is in Silver Spring. What's up, Alex?
What's going on, guys?
What up, brother?
I'm good, bro. Hey, look, I just got on, but I don't know if they mentioned, man, Chicago Bulls with the best player, NBA player, Michael Jordan, 6 times. With different, with no stars, not like with they've been doing it. I don't have to say, you know what I'm talking about. Come here, you the best one in this team. Come up here, let's go up here and let's all win. You think Michael? Let's be real. Michael Jordan would do something like that? No way, man. He was hoping the mailman and all the others would even get close. All right, let me leave that. Now let's go with the Skins. 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks. One of them was supposedly a bust, Doug Williams, got drafted in,
late Tampa 70s.
Bay.
Yeah.
Yep. And supposedly he was a bust. Then he came up here, first black quarterback. Then the other two, Trey, well, Theismann, you already knew. You already knew, Rippin. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Rippin wasn't really. Well, you can add on more, Mitch. Add it on. So I'm gonna let you add on the rest.
Thanks, bud.
I'm all good.
Appreciate it.
Give him the assignment again, Jay.
Yeah. Yo, we're looking.
Hey, I'll say this. Hell, Caitlin Clark run and what she bought to women's basketball. That's a lot.
Dude, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Because that was. Like world changing type stuff. So we're wondering what is world changing sporting events since the year 2000. My man, shout out to that dude talking about Super Bowl in 83, which was a hell of a Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong, but that was not exactly the assignment here. Dude, you're right. Caitlin Clark, and I think the WNBA draft is tonight. That is women's basketball has jumped up. 5 levels of popularity since Caitlin Clark?
It jumped up.
It's jumped up significantly.
Mm-hmm.
I would add, I think both Michael Phelps and Katie Ledecky were since 2000.
Yeah.
Just taking over swimming.
Hell, just this area took over swimming over the world.
I know, dude.
Think about that.
Think about, like, Usain Bolt. When that dude, what Olympics was that, 08 maybe?
He was flying, dog.
Just unbelievable speed.
Yeah, we gotta get us some sweet potatoes, man. That's what he said he was eating. Let's see if that make us fast.
No, dude. I just read something. Apparently, Usain Bolt, when he, I think those, I read something. Let's figure out what Olympics. Yeah, dude. It was the 100 meter. I think it was in...
Nine, or something, whatever it was.
He said when he won the 100-meter sprint in the Olympic final, He had only eaten chicken nuggets from McDonald's because he didn't want to upset his stomach with, like, what the local food was. I believe.
Where was it at?
I believe it was Beijing.
Oh, okay. But he talked about when he eats and he trains, his purple sweet potatoes.
Yeah, dude. He said, but during that 08 Olympics, he said he probably ate 1,000 chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Because he needed the protein and he didn't want
to
eat.
You know why he finished so fast? He had to go to the bathroom. That's what the hell that was.
He said, honestly, I ate nothing else in all my time out in China except chicken nuggets. They were the only food I could properly trust, which wouldn't affect my stomach. On arriving at training camp, I tried a local Chinese meal, which wasn't like the ones we eat in the West, and my body didn't react well. So knowing I could rely on nuggets, I made up my mind that was all I would eat. Eat them I did for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, washed down with bottled water.
Mm.
That's wild, dude.
Yeah.
And then he went on to break like 100 records. Boys in the Aquarium, anything you would add to this kind of list since 2000?
The helmet catch.
David Tyree?
Oh, you would go back to that.
That feels a little personal, but.
Well, we could go anything. You can go with, what's my girl?
That was a big one, though, because the Pats were undefeated.
That was.
That was a pretty
David used to be here. He was here before he went up to New York.
That was a big one. I'm not. Even though it's a homer pick, that was a big one.
That was a terrible Super Bowl, but the last few minutes were entertaining.
Worst Super Bowl ever was Rams Patriots.
Hey, tell him, right, Brian? Y'all won.
That's all that matters.
Bobby Hook just tweeted me, don't forget about Cal Ripken's consecutive game streak. I agree. However, I think that was pre-2000. Wasn't that like 97?
Yeah. Well, when you allow the first person to go back, you know, everybody's going to try to give you what they think. Remember
elite call screening on my man there, Jeff.
Yeah, but you told him they could go pre-2000.
Stop trying to throw me under the bus for
but
it.
That dude went to 97 or
96.
Something?
96.
Okay.
You right. Had somebody talk fault. About Jordan. Like, what are you talking
you
about?
You remember?
The one dude
you
talked
remember
about
when
Jordan
Kansas City won the Super Bowl way back?
With Hank Stram?
It's true. When the Jets won the Super Bowl, people didn't think the AFL teams could compete, but then they did it.
You want to go to concerts, you go with Beyonce, and what you call them?
I think I'm going to have to go into the boxing world. Roy Jones' run at heavyweight and light heavyweight to get all those belts, that was up there.
When Roy Jones was playing basketball, didn't go fight you, that had to be the most embarrassing thing in the world.
While dropping a rap album. Yeah.
Well, dude, I mean, if we're doing the fight game, I don't know this world that well, but whatever Conor McGregor has done to achieve his superstardom,
yeah,
I mean, he must have beat somebody's ass a whole bunch of
times.
He
had people tapping out. tapping out like hell, though.
I'm shocked you two in there aren't trying to get some Yankees baseball in here. When was the Jeter play at home? Was that late 90s?
I think that was 2000, 2001.
Well, that fits, Landfield.
I mean, come on. That was in, like, the divisional round of the playoffs.
That was against the A's?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Jeter is overrated.
I didn't say that.
I mean,
Jeter's the best.
No.
Of all baseball players ever, Jeter is one.
Incorrect.
Or two. I'll take two.
What about Bonds breaking Hank Aaron's record? Bonds breaking McGuire's?
Yeah, that seemed Roger a long time ago.
Warriors dynasty.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the singular moment when Durant signed with Golden State was a major, like, oh, my God. And maybe that was local because we had all lied to ourselves to think that KD was coming home. But it was also
not
like
me.
It was also like, damn, he went there? That was like when Hulk Hogan became Hollywood Hogan. Like, it was a wild moment. Darren's in Alexandria. Darren, what do you got, man?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say this is a global sports changing moment, but definitely in like the United States, I was pretty young when this was happening, so maybe it was bigger for me, but Kawhi hitting that like knock in buzzer beater, rims around the rim and goes in to take them to the finals. Yeah, that was a pretty big moment for me.
That was the Eastern Conference Finals, right? Was that against the Sixers? Who'd they beat?
I think so. Yeah, it was the Sixers. I remember Joel Embiid being so sad.
I remember that shot. It
and Joel Embiid hadn't wanted to play since then.
Thank you, Darren. Appreciate it, man. That if you're from Canada, that shot's probably up there.
Oh yeah.
Greg texted this one, and it's fair and belongs on there. LeBron passing Kareem's all-time points record.
Yeah.
There was that video that went crazy when Ovi broke Gretzky's record, how all his teammates jumped on him, and when LeBron passed Kareem's record, he ran to the corner of the court to be by himself. Just different people celebrating differently. That's all that is.
Y'all didn't help me. I did it myself.
We forgot one.
What?
No lie. I don't mean this to offend any of the other sports in town. Absolutely the biggest thing that has happened in this city since 2000.
NFC Championship game?
No.
What?
Dan Snyder selling the damn team.
Hell yeah.
I mean, that
was huge.
Jeff, we'll take this last call and then we're going to move on. We got Nats coming up. The Caps breaking through and winning the cup locally.
Yeah.
Dude, nobody had won here since you were playing, B. There hadn't been a title in this town since 91.
They talking about 3-4 years ago I was playing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know where I was the day that team got sold. That one meant.
I know where I was.
You got the bullpen?
Oh, my
Lord. You got tore up that day.
I think the whole area got tore up that day. Yeah, that was a rough one there, Jeff.
Especially after the shot on the stage.
Oh, my Lord.
Yo, so I got a video
What
of
the
that.
Hell were we drinking? What kind of shot?
Fireball, right?
I don't remember.
Nah,
I
it wasn't Fireball. It was something else.
The city just slowed down, and the instant my head turned after that shot.
So I had to work. I was in Minnesota for Goodell and everything that happened. Yeah. And I couldn't have a drink. I was scrambling. And my flight out of Minnesota that night, I'm always running through airports with Nikki Jabala. And she's like, hey, our flight's about to go. I was like, I'll meet you in there. And I went into this airport bar in Minneapolis and got a martini and just chugged it. That was my way of finally celebrating. All right, last call. Miguel's in Stafford. What up, Miguel?
Hey, how we doing?
Doing well, man.
Hey, not much, man. I think one of the moments that I actually, got into this country from the Dominican Republic was the dunk of death, Vince Carter, 2000 Olympics. That was
on that French dude?
Oh, man, that was an opening night for me. You know what I mean? Coming from the third world country and seeing that for the first time in a small phone, I was like, it was incredible to me. Makes me a fan of, the NBA basketball. And another one that I don't want to leave is Kobe Bryant 2006 81 point game, only on three quarters. That was amazing for me too.
Amazing, good stuff, man.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Thanks, man, there, brother. Take care.
It was those damn pickle shots or whatever it was. What is it, like bourbon and pickle juice or something like that?
So it's usually you take a shot of Jameson and then you chase it with a shot of pickle juice.
Awful.
They're called pickle backs.
It was pickle awful.
You don't really like pickles. You do like pickles.
I love pickles. I love pickles. I love bourbon. I don't like Miguel.
When we come back, let's get caught up on the Washington Nationals. Mark Zuckerman joins the program.
Good tune there, Landfill.
All right. Time for us to get back to business. Got to talk a little Nats baseball, helping us do it. Best dude on the beat, our friend, Mr. Mark Zuckerman. Zuck, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
It's going well, man. The Nats started kind of rough, then got hot, won two series at home against two really good teams. Struggled a bit in Miami, but I want to start by talking about James Wood. What he's doing right now, how impressed have you been for a guy that's been in baseball your whole life?
I mean, I'm impressed. It's hard not to be, but at the same time, I do kind of feel like this is who he was supposed to be. And it's all coming together, of course, but we saw signs of it last year. And it's fun to watch a kid who has those kind of lofty expectations realize the potential. And now, I think people even beyond the Nationals are starting to recognize, well, hang on a second, there's something special going on here with this guy. The home run he hit in Miami the other night, opposite field on just a line.
That's an apple taco, right?
Yeah, yeah. And to a part of that park that, like, nobody hits it out of right-handed or left-handed. I don't know if you guys heard the clip from the Miami announcers. They were, like, in stunned silence. They couldn't even fathom it because they hadn't seen a left-handed hitter do that there before. I mean, that's what this guy is capable of doing. And you're starting to recognize that maybe the rest of the league is figuring this out, that they've got a special young player here in D.C.
What kind of player are we talking? Like, what does this conversation become? Because we've seen legit stars here. Harper, Soto, and then lesser Turner, Rendon, Zim. You know, I mean, we've seen MVP-type players. I don't want to get over my skis. I don't want to have recency bias. But, like, is Wood on that kind of trajectory? Like, the potential MVP-type dude? Or just a really good player? Or maybe we don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if we know that quite yet. I mean, he certainly has some of the skills that you'd look for in a player of that kind of caliber. What I think is fascinating is that, as you're just asking me that question, I'm trying to think, like, who's he really compared to? I don't think he does compare to any one individual player. I think he's kind of a unicorn. It's because of his physicality, his size. You're 6'7", but run as well as he does and hit the ball as hard as he does. You know, he's kind of like Aaron Judge in terms of the size of the body, but he's a better runner. He is a little bit more of a complete game, I think, than Judge has. He hits the ball the way Soto does as far as that left-handed opposite field power. So it's almost like this amalgamation of several different star players, and he's got little bits of each of them. And, you know, he may be that unicorn because he's 6'7" with speed and tremendous power. And, you know, there's still a long way for him to go to fully establish himself. But you can see the qualities that are there, and it really is, in some ways, it may truly be unique what he brings to the table.
Is his defense upper level as well?
No, not yet, and that's probably the one downside. Now, he came in with the reputation of being an excellent defensive player, even somebody who can play center field in the big leagues. And I'll tell you, when I saw him last spring, the first time I really got to watch him play, I thought to myself, okay, yeah, he moves a lot better than you think for somebody that size. And then he got to the big leagues last summer, and they put him in left field because of who else they already had. And the position was new to him, and he looked pretty uncomfortable at times doing that. But you thought, okay, give him some time. He'll get comfortable with it. He'll start to understand it. We haven't really seen a whole lot of improvement there from him. And I don't know if it's just a case of he's not as good defensively as we thought, or he is still learning that position on the fly. It's hard to say, but I thought it was notable the other night, Davey pulled him in the ninth inning for defense. He's also used him as DH now a couple of times when Nathaniel Lowe was out. And so it does make you wonder if they're already a little concerned that defense is not going to be his forte. It doesn't mean he can't still be a great player, of course. But to be the full, complete player that everybody kind of projected for him, he definitely has work to do in the outfield if he's going to, you know, realize that part of his potential.
I feel so old, I guess, but I still think it's weird when you talk about the DH and the NL, but whatever.
No, me too. I don't like it, but it's here to stay.
Yeah, it ain't going anywhere. All right, so we've had this awesome beginning of the season for James Wood, and he looks, I mean, we got plenty of time till the All-Star break, but like he looks like he'll certainly be the Nats All-Star. I do want to flip this thing. We are talking with our friend Mark Zuckerman here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You can follow Mark at Mark Zuckerman, Z-U-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. He is not the dude from Facebook. Zuck, Dylan Cruz, dude. Now, it's still super early. They're, what, 16 games in, 10% of the season in? But it's not great.
It's not great so far. You're right. And, you know, this is why, as we're talking about James Wood, like you appreciate what he's doing and a guy realizing his potential right off the bat. And in Cruz's case, it just hasn't happened yet. Doesn't mean it won't, of course. He's supremely talented. This wasn't a case of the Nationals like reaching for someone at the number two spot in the draft. A couple of years ago, everybody in the world said he was that good. And most people believed he was worthy of being a number one pick, if not for his LSU teammate, Paul Skeens, who, by the way, he's going to face tonight here in Pittsburgh. The one thing I'll say is he's hitting the ball hard and doesn't have a lot to show for it. So there has been some bad luck there. That first week of the year, he was swinging at everything, striking out a lot. Since then, much more contact, including some hard contact. And for whatever reason, he's hit it, you know, right at the shortstop, right at the center fielder, stuff like that. So when you see that, you do say, okay, give it some time. This should start to turn. The luck should turn in his direction here eventually. Hopefully he has the right attitude about it and doesn't get down on himself. I mean, this is somebody who has succeeded at every level he's ever played.
Right.
I'm not sure he's ever had to go through something quite like this. And to be doing it at the big league level is a whole nother story. So you've seen Davey give him some days off, some mental breaks.
Yeah.
You've seen him bat pretty much at the bottom of the lineup, trying to take all the pressure off of him. He's going to be under the spotlight tonight, assuming he's playing, because he is facing his old buddy Skeens, and I'll be interested to see how that goes. But they're not giving up on him. They're going to give him 600 at-bats no matter what, mm-hmm. and it's just up to him to like let those talents and really the work ethic and drive that he has just take over at some point. I think most people agree that it will happen eventually, but it's a reminder that what Wood is doing and what Soto and Harper did back in the day, like, that's not the norm. It does right. usually take some time,
right.
and it doesn't have to happen right away. It doesn't mean that it won't happen if it doesn't happen right away.
Yeah, just I think a lot of fans, they see those guys come in, and they just expected it to happen for Cruz. But you're right. He take a little time, he'll be all right. Well, yeah, I look at what he was and what he is now. It's not good, but it's jumped up from where he was.
And he's still a really good defender, yeah. too.
Yes, and that the most encouraging thing there, he's not taking it into the field with him. He's still making some excellent plays in right field and center field at times as well. That's a good sign. If somebody has the ability to compartmentalize the two parts of the game, that tells you a lot about his maturity and just his work ethic and everything else.
You know, one guy that's having a great start beyond Wood is a catcher, Ruiz. I mean, he's hitting everything. How encouraging has his start been, Zuck?
Hugely encouraging. And honestly, if you took everybody from the team and said, who was it most important to get off to a good start this year, I would have put Ruiz number one on that list. He had an awful 2024. He admitted it. He knew it, both offensively and defensively. He worked really hard this winter on different parts of his game. He lost some weight. He wanted to come in and flip that script and show everyone that, no, actually I am that franchise catcher that you thought you were getting all along, that you actually gave the long-term contract to. And so far, it's everything you could have asked for. It's not just at the plate. Behind the plate has been really good as well, throwing out runners, calling good games. And the consistency at the plate has been excellent. And, I mean, the craziest stat to me, they've played 15 games and he started 14 of them as a catcher.
Wow.
That doesn't happen in the big league. Now, they have had some off days, and that's helped a little bit. But it's a combination of how well he's played and the shape he's in, and the fact that he really wants to do this, and Davey's going to let him do that for a while until he starts to see some kind of physical deterioration. I haven't looked it up, but I don't think any other catcher has started 14 out of 15 games so far this year. Eventually, you are going to have to give him some days off. I imagine, you know, four-game series in Pittsburgh, three games in Colorado with no off days. We're going to see Riley Adams for a couple games, I would think, this week. But as long as he's producing, it's kind of hard to take him out of the lineup.
Just those knees, man. Yeah, I feel like baseball kind of eases their way into the season with more off days than normal. This is the Nats' first week where they're playing every day. It'll be interesting. Watching Skeens tonight is going to be electric. I'm glad you mentioned that. I guess we won't know until much later in the season when Pittsburgh comes to town to see Skeens here. But that, I mean, seems like must-see TV. But, Zuck, I got to ask, man. I've tried to go positive, negative, positive, negative. What do you make of this bullpen?
It hasn't been good so far, guys. and I will say that I'm not alone in this regard, that coming into the season, that was my number one concern. I think a lot of people felt that way when you saw the moves they made over the winter or the lack of moves they made. About half of the bullpen was signed like from February 1st on, including bringing Kyle Finnegan back. Finnegan's been the best of them all, really the only truly reliable guy. And you're seeing a few veterans with some track records, Jorge Lopez, Lucas Sims, Colin Poche, not perform up to what they thought they were going to be. And then the younger guys, you're dealing with some injuries. Orlando Ribalta just got hurt. Derek Law was supposed to be a really important part of the bullpen and didn't make it to opening day. And he's still on the IL with just kind of waiting for his arm to get into shape, I guess, is the best way to put it. And We haven't seen him yet. That's been a little bit troubling. There's nothing harder in baseball than having a team that gets good starting pitching, that gets early runs, takes a lead late into a game, and then blows it late because of a bullpen. It's such a difficult thing psychologically to deal with. You know, it hasn't necessarily been that they've blown games that they've led, but there have been close games that were there for the taking, and they just have not been able to keep it close, to give their lineup a chance. It's a problem, and I think at some point, if you're Davey Martinez, you do have to wonder. It's one thing to trust guys with track records, but eventually you may have to try some younger arms, see how they perform under the spotlight, and, you know, maybe when it's all said and done, those are your top relievers, and it's not the guys making more money with, you know, big league experience.
I wouldn't mind seeing less of Sims. That much I know. Really encouraging start for Mackenzie Gore, though. I mean, he has real strikeout stuff.
Yeah, yesterday wasn't as good against the Marlins, but big picture, it's been
overall
encouraging. Yeah, to see that, and again, somebody who you knew had it all, and it was just a matter of putting it all together and staying consistent with it. His opening day start against the Phillies was phenomenally good, and he also pitched well against I think it was the Dodgers in the last homestand. This is a guy who has all the tools and, more importantly, the mindset to want to be the ace of the team. He's always kind of had that that drive in him, the desire to be the best. He hasn't backed down from anything. He knows when he's on, he's better than anybody he's facing at the plate. It's just a matter of consistency from start to start. And what he's done well, and a little bit yesterday, not as much, but what he's done well is not let things get out of control. When he starts getting guys on base in the past, you could see it falling apart on him. He's stayed much more composed, I think, so far this year, and not turning starts into blowups. And what he's been able to do is give them innings as a result and give them a chance to win. Out of everybody in the rotation's been fine so far, but he's the one that really stands out as having elevated his game and really looking like a number one starter.
As Doc Walker would say, he got that dog in him. Mark, we got to run, man.
Appreciate you,
Mark. Thank you for the time, brother. Seriously.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
All right, bro.
Mark Zuckerman, you can watch him on Masson. You can read his stuff on Masson.com. Does a great job covering the Nats. Knows that team inside and out. Coming up at noon, the update I don't think anybody really wants to hear. All right. Has anybody watched Severance? Why Brian has? I'm not done yet, Why Brian. But when this song first emerges in, what's my man's name, Irving? That's pretty intense.
Is that really a good show? I didn't hear so many people talking about it.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, Jeff. And sometimes I like it. Sometimes I don't. It's very introspective and weird. I don't know. What do you think? I'm almost done. I'm like season 2, episode 8-ish. So I think I only got like one or two left.
Yeah, I would call it a good show. It's one of them where you can't really look away.
What's the show?
Severance on Apple TV.
Have fun.
Dude, B, I don't think you would last 20 minutes. I'm shocked.
I'm not going to last 10 minutes. I'm not going to look at it.
The first three or four episodes are so slow. If I couldn't binge this thing, like if I was waiting week by week, no chance I'd still be watching it.
See, that'd be the tough thing for me. If the first two episodes are slow, it's hard for me to get into. But now that you said the first four, I know to watch it, you know, expecting those first four shows to be boring, those first four episodes.
Now tell me about it when y'all finish.
It's weird, dude.
Yeah.
Do you want to know the basic premise?
What is it?
These people get their brain cut in half, and then they go to work at this whack-ass place that, like, is in charge of half of, like, the person they are on the half their brain is only activated when they're at the work at this, like, workplace in the basement. So they have, like, an outside life, which is half their brain and their family and friends and their life, and then they have this, like, inner life. You into that?
Nah.
Is that a fair description of the show?
Yeah, they essentially hate their work life so much, they just completely separate.
They hate their real life, their life.
Yeah, their life in general.
So they separate their brains so they can be totally into it when they're over here?
Yeah, they're basically two different people.
Nah, that's all right.
It's weird, dude. Nah. It's definitely weird. I kind of just want to be done with it. That's where I'm at now.
Hey, you know how you get done with it? Don't start it. That's what I do.
Don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff.
You can be done with it at any time.
That's a good point.
Just walk
away. Have you not watched it?
No, and based on what I'm hearing, I won't. I couldn't even tell you how to watch it.
Apple TV.
I don't have Apple TV.
You don't?
No, Apple TV stinks.
What are your
It's the worst streaming service.
I'm not sure I agree with that. What are your streaming service rankings, Landfill?
Netflix is the one seed, Hulu 2, Disney Plus 3, Peacock 4. And then I guess you got to put Paramount Plus 5.
Then Apple?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't agree with that.
What do you watch on Apple TV?
Nothing. I don't watch a lot of TV. You know me. I don't think Apple that bad.
You can watch football and the Masters.
My daughters are watching it all the time.
On Paramount Plus. You can also watch Top Gun.
I think I have all those streaming services on my thing.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to get into Stars Plus.
7,500 channels.
Oh, I forgot Max.
The channels aren't the streaming services,
though. No. But
Max is annoying as hell.
The streaming services all pop up, too.
Max is solid.
Movies, everything.
But here's what drives me crazy with Max. Like, why they changed from HBO to Max, I'll still never understand. But they also, like, I can watch it on demand just via my Xfinity, but they make me launch the Max app and then have to work through that interface. It drives me freaking crazy.
Hey, man.
Stop watching TV. You'll be better.
Netflix dominates the best interface. Like, if you have to poke around on Netflix, it's just by far the best. Like, my kids, my six-year-old, on Disney Plus, I spend a lot of time, and I have to find, like, specific episodes of Bluey or Doc McStuffins. You want to jump off the roof. Speaking of jumping off the roof, Caps aren't playing their best hockey. Steve Wino helps us break it down when we return.